Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon, a Christmas episode. Welcome to our Christmas special. And well, first of all, I want to say Merry Christmas to you and yours from me and mine. I was just joking, but yes, Merry Christmas to you. I pray that all the joy and the love that this season brings, all the rejoicing, will not be lacking from your mouth. I pray that in this season you come to discover all the goodness and the loving kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father and the Holy Ghost, and that you come to experience God for yourself and you come to a deeper knowledge of Him. And I pray that in this Christmas season you will come to love God on a deeper level. You will come to love men the way Jesus loved men. Jesus was a lover of men. He was one who sat with sinners and tax collectors and ate with them. He never turned any man away. Throughout scripture, there was not one person who came to Jesus for help or that came to Jesus with arms open that he ever turned away. And so I pray that in this season you come to love men as much as Jesus loved men, and you come to love Jesus as much as He does love you. Amen. I didn't know where I started with prayer. And yes, of course, before we begin, I want to say a big thank you. Oh, this is amazing. But I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has followed Cedars in Lebanon from the beginning up until now, or joined along the way. I want to thank you all for your commitment to this beautiful thing. I want to thank you for all the love. I want to thank you for the encouragement and the help. God, the help. I want to thank every single one of you. You mean a lot to me. I say this a lot, but it's the truth. You do mean a lot to me. You're my friends. You're now part of my life, right? So I just want to say a big thank you to every single one of you. And I just want to appreciate you for the journey and for being on this journey with us. Yeah, so now on to the Christmas episode. Okay, it's going to be a mini episode. I want to try to keep this really short. I'm going to try to make it very, very short, hopefully, by God's grace. But I want to read a very long place in scripture first before beginning. It's Luke chapter 2, the popular Christmas verse, from verse 1 to 20. Okay, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. I don't know, how did they do this? Anyway, this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. This is a beautiful story, guys. Kai. So she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe with capital letter, not your regular babe. You find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was while the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe, again with capital letter, not your regular babe, the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Amen. Okay, so today I have a few things to share with you guys relating to Christmas, of course. A few things that relate to Christmas, and I'm going to try to say them as simply as I can. The first one is that your story doesn't end in the manger. We see Jesus, who is the King of the entire universe. I mean, the Bible literally says that to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples and nations should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom cannot be destroyed, and his kingdom will not be his kingdom will not pass away. And the beginning of such a king started from a place like a manger. I don't know if you guys know what a manger is. There was actually a point in my life where I used to think I knew what a manger was, but honestly, I really did not know. It's like, it's all those places with so much hay and what's animal waste called? I don't know what animal. Well, yes, let's call it animal waste. Yes, animal waste, where animals literally lay their heads to sleep. And this is where the King of the universe, the one who would hold in his hand the key of David, the one who would hold in his hand the scepter of righteousness, this is where his beginning started from. Man, it gives me hope, should I say. This is literally what we'd call the hope of Christmas. It's the fact that though he started in a manger, his end, he has no end anyway, but his life, the remainder of his life was glorious. Though he began in a place which seemingly had no glory, though he began from a very rough place, though he began from a rough background, though he came through the place where you would rate the dirtiest or the most unholy to come from, his kingdom has no end. And so the word to you today is just that the fact that your story begins in a manger does not mean that it has to end there. As a matter of fact, that your story begun in a manger means that that is just the beginning. There is more to your story than just the manger. I heard my pastor say yesterday, he talked about how Jesus never spoke about his birth, which is very true. I never noticed that before. Jesus never spoke about his birth. He then followed up to say that he did not let where he was born determine who he was. And his birth instead is supposed to be a motivation for us to walk like he does. So it's just an encouragement to you who seemingly comes from a rough background, or maybe not. Maybe you come from a very decent home, a Christian home and all of that, and you along the way found yourself stuck in something that was not good. I don't know the word to use. But yes, you found yourself in a situation that was not pleasant, or something happened. Maybe you were abused along the way, or you fell into some sort of sin, or you fell into wrong company and something happened. You just missed your way and you found yourself in a manger. It's just an encouragement that the manger doesn't have to be your end. The manger doesn't have to be your end. it is in fact your beginning. It is the beginning of a beautiful story that the Lord is going to use and write. And take it from one person who has gone through something, who has gone through a lot worse. Okay, well, let me not talk. But yes, well, take it from someone like me who has gone through a lot worse. It's the very things that you think are ashes that Jesus will make beauty out of. And that's the way he is. Like, he loves working with dirt because it means he can make it clean. He likes working with ashes because it means that beauty can come out of it. If you are heavy, I think that you're one of Jesus's best candidates because it means he can give you a spirit of praise. If you're in mourning, you are the best person for him because it means that he can grant you an oil of gladness. If you're someone who is going through shame and going through pain, oh, definitely you are Jesus, you are his person, because there is glory. He has greater glory ahead. And I believe that that's one of the most beautiful things that Christmas teaches us about. And throughout Jesus's life, we see a lot of times littered, if not every time, so many times in his life, littered with so many experiences where he just found pleasure in men who were in the dirt. He found pleasure in picking up these people and just showing them himself and just revealing himself to them. And to me, I think that that's more than beautiful, that he would pick his disciples, men who literally, I mean, there was Simon the Zealot. I continued watching The Chosen recently, and I really like how they portrayed Simon the Zealot's life. I like, we're never really told much about him in scripture, but The Chosen gave him sort of like a back story, which was very interesting. And you know, to look at a man like that, and Jesus called him and Jesus said, I will use you. A man who for context, the Zealots were people who were zealous, I don't know the word, but they were zealous for the house of God, using that scripture that David said, zeal for your house has consumed me. So they had so much zeal for God and his people, and they were awaiting the Messiah, and but they were murderers, they killed. So Simon the Zealot literally was believed to be one of them, or rather, he was believed to be a murderer. But Jesus looked at this man and called him and told him, I will use you too. And he's not the only one. There's so many instances in scripture, both people and things, sort of, such as the colt, the donkey that he rode into Jerusalem on. It was a colt who had never been used. He was probably forgotten, standing in one corner, just there. Or was it tax collectors that he sat down with and had dinner with? They sat around his table and he welcomed them. Was it the woman with the issue of blood who people had rejected over and over again? I promise you, your story cannot be, cannot be so terrible. But even if it is that terrible, the one who makes beauty out of broken things, he's stretching out a hand to you today. And he's telling you that he loves you. And he will use you, and he will use that story of yours to bring glory out of. You are not the sum total of the things that you've been through. No, that's not who you are. You are what he calls you. You are exactly what he calls you. You are not what men have put on you. You are not what society has called you. You are not a name that has been given to you by men who cannot see beyond what is placed in front of them. You are what he calls you because he sees you. You are what he calls you because he knows you. You are what he calls you because before you were formed in the womb, he knew your name. He wrote your story. And what you're just doing now is just leaving it out. And you might have fallen. You might have missed it once or twice. You might have lost your way. You might have, I don't know, gone through something that seemingly is impossible to get out of. But I'm telling you the truth, there is one who's reaching down his hand into the pit. There's one who's reaching out his hand into the manger. There's one who is reaching out to the man who thinks he's too dirty to approach. There's one who is reaching out his love and his care. He's opened his arms for you to run into, and he will embrace you. And so this Christmas episode or Christmas special is to the one who believes that he is too unclean to come to Jesus, or to the one who thinks that his end has to be in the manger. Jesus never allowed the manger to stop him, and you shouldn't too. Jesus never allowed what men called him to stop him, and you shouldn't too. And men might look at you and say, oh, is it not you that, you know, struggled with this? Which was the same case with Jesus. I mean, we read an instance of when Jesus went back to Nazareth and he read that part of scripture in Isaiah, and they stoned him. They got really angry anyway. I don't know if they stoned him, but they got really angry and got really pissed. And you know, he talked about how a prophet was without honor in his hometown and all of that. But we know that the story of Jesus, his people, the place where he was born, where he called home, they did not like him. They didn't really care for him and all of that. So yes, there will be people and there will be voices that will speak and try to convince you that you are not more than what they've called you. But I promise you, there is hope for a tree. Even though it be cut down, if its sprout remains in the ground, that at the scent of water it will rise again. There is hope for you. You are not at the end of your life. Whatever has happened to you does not have to be the end of your story. The pages are not done and God is not done. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to believe that he will put down the pen, because I promise you, we serve a God who will never put down the pen as far as the pages are remaining. And those pages are a lot. So the story of your life is not done yet. You don't end in the manger, you begin there. The manger is just your beginning. So that's my Christmas message to you. This happened shorter in a very short period. That's my Christmas message to you, and that's just the encouragement that I have for you today. And I pray for everyone who is going through Christmas season today, in pain or in hurt or in shame, or thinking of the many things in their lives that are not where they are supposed to be, or thinking about just giving up on life, or thinking about stopping where they have come to. I pray that the Lord, who meets men at the point of their needs, will meet you, and he will encounter you, and he will hold you and uphold you with his righteous right hand. I pray that he pours out his love into you. I pray that you experience a revealing of the love of God like never before. And I pray that today will be your day of encounter. I pray that if anything, this Christmas will be your most memorable one, because it will be the day that you would be able to say that you met Jesus. And that, more than anything, is beauty. It's extravagant beauty, literally. And so I pray that today, in this festive season, as we all celebrate, that he puts on your lips a reason to celebrate too. I pray for anyone who's going through this festive season, having lost someone there, having lost someone close, or having lost something there to them. I pray that the Lord gives you comfort to be able to bear even in this season. I pray that he holds your hands and walks through this season of pain with you. And that at the end of this season, he will make out of you a stronger vessel. He will make out of you a vessel that is fit for his use, in Jesus' name. And the last thing I would like to say is, as we celebrate today the birth of Jesus' first coming, we should remember that he's coming again. He said, in the words of Jesus, that he came for the sinners, not for the righteous. He was talking to the Pharisees, I think. And he said that he came for the sinners, not for the righteous. But that was his first coming. The second time he comes, he's coming for his saints. He's coming for the men who he sent. out into the world. He's coming for the righteous. He's coming for those who call him Lord. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to not be a part of that. He is actually coming again. If you ever forgot, or you were not reminded, maybe, I don't know, do it, yeah. But if you ever, maybe it just skipped your mind, this is just a reminder that the King of Glory who came the first time is coming again. Like, he is going to come. And if that does not make you excited, then you should sit down and introspect and ask yourself why you're not glad about it. Because it's true. There was a time in my life when whenever I heard Jesus is coming, my heart would start racing. You think they gave me adrenaline or something, because I literally would be literally having palpitations, because whenever I heard someone preaching about rapture or talking, I would just be like, oh my God. But glory to God, and thank God for his mercy. Talking about his coming now just brings me joy, because he's coming, and that's something to be excited about. So if you're not excited about his coming, you should call to him and ask him to help you find out why you're not excited that he's coming. And if you're not prepared for his coming, you should get ready. You should put oil in your lamps. If you need to call out to Jesus, if you need to draw out to him, today is a perfect day to do that. If you need to be reconciled back to God, if you've not called him Lord, or if you've called him Lord and you've not acted it out, like you've said Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but you're not living your life like he really is your Lord, today is that perfect opportunity for you to return, for you to go back to the cross. Today is the day to not just remember the manger, but to also remember the cross, to remember that Jesus's coming was because of you. I remember a songwriter once said that if I was the only one on earth, you still would have come to die for me. And that's the truth. Like, if you were the one person on this planet, he still would have come for you. And I just imagine that on the cross that day, while Jesus was giving himself to death, all he was saying, or rather all that was on his mind, was my name, was your name, was our name. I just imagine him, because he was God and he was man. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. So, I mean, it makes sense that our names were on his mind when he gave up his ghost. And so, more than anything, that's a reason to just come back to him, because he loves you. He does love you. Your sins will never change his love for you. Your what you're stuck in will not change his love for you. He hates sin, but he does not hate you. He abhors sin, but far be it from him that he abhors you. He does love you, and he wants to help you. And so I pray that in this season, you also just reach out your hand to him and you call him Lord and you call him Master over your life, and you actually give the reins of your life to him to hold, because life is better with him, honestly. Babshi, take it from me. Life is sweet with Jesus. It's sweet. It's very sweet. I could go on and on and on and on. But yes, it's a day to surrender to Jesus if you haven't. It's a day to remember him if you've forgotten. If you've left your first love, it's a day to return. And if you are sitting with him, it's a day to just introspect. It's a day to still remember and to acknowledge all that he is to you. Yeah. So Merry Christmas, everyone, once again. Merry Christmas from Cedars in Lebanon to you. We love you so much, and we hope that this episode has been a blessing to you. God bless you, and have an amazing and a merry, merry Christmas. See you next year. Bye-bye.